Chapter 2. Anchor in the Storm. Emily's decision to work part-time stemmed from her desire to be as present as possible in her son's life. Sure, she knew she'd be eligible for welfare, but that was not the stuff of which she was made. Furthermore, she was quite aware of the apparent hopelessness that people experienced when they depended totally upon government largesse. Knowing the importance of early childhood development and wanting to provide Horatio with the care and attention he deserved, she made sacrifices to ensure he was well looked after. With her work schedule adjusted to allow her afternoons free, in the mornings Emily entrusted her precious son to the care of a neighbor's 12-year-old daughter, Angelica Winston. Despite the young girl's mental challenges, Emily found solace in Angelica's reliability and genuine care for Horatio. Angelica attended a special school in the afternoons, so schedules aligned themselves nicely. Emily enjoyed helping Angelica to cope with everyday human relationships, which often scared the girl. Emily's days were spent toiling away at the local convenience store, where she greeted customers with a warm smile from 8 a.m. to noon, 6 days a week. But her dedication didn't end there. On Friday and Saturday nights, Emily would extend her work hours, serving popcorn to the patrons of the local theater, earning extra income to support her two-person family. Although legally the theater was supposed to close by midnight, more often than not, she didn't get home until 2 a.m., 8 hours after starting her shifts. Although the establishment made a token effort to close on time, sometimes the movies went on past closing time, and not always because of technical glitches. Despite the demands of her jobs, Emily sought moments of respite and spiritual nourishment for herself and Horatio. On Sundays, when her weary body allowed, she would take him to church, instilling in him the values of faith and community. However, the harsh realities of their circumstances often intervened. A minimal diet and fatigue from her long work hours on weekends often left Emily too exhausted to make the lengthy walk to church. When she was unable to make the journey, sometimes there wasn't enough money for the bus, she would turn on the old flea market purchased Sony transistor radio and listen to Moody Radio, call letters WMBI. Winter presented additional challenges. The biting cold of the Windy City made their trek to church, a 15-block journey, all but impossible. Emily's clothing, worn and threadbare from years of use, offered little protection against the northerly breezes that swept through the streets. Her son's comfort may have been assured with a cozy flannel swaddle blanket, but the frigid wind was often too bitter for Emily. As a result, their attendance at church during the winter months became sporadic, a casualty of their struggle to endure the harsh elements of their environment. Radio WMBI got a good workout during the cold months. As Horatio grew, Emily recognized the importance of providing him with opportunities for growth and social interaction beyond their small duplex and the confines of their neighborhood. In her quest to offer him a sense of community and belonging, she turned to her church, where the doors were open not only to worship, but also to programs that catered to the children and youth of the community. Thus, at a tender age, Horatio found himself enrolled in the Boys and Girls Clubs hosted by the church. In spring and fall, Horatio happily walked, and in winter he often got a ride with neighbors in their old rattle trap, as its owner, kindly LeDuane Montague, with the blackest face and the biggest smile in the hood, lovingly referred to it. These clubs served as a haven for children like him, providing a safe and nurturing environment where they could learn, play, and forge meaningful connections with their peers. For Horatio, the Boys and Girls Clubs became more than just a place to pass the time. They became a second home, a sanctuary where he could explore his interests, develop his talents, and build friendships that would last a lifetime. Under the guidance of dedicated mentors and volunteers, he engaged in a myriad of activities, from arts and crafts to sports and games, each experience contributing to his personal growth and development. Through his involvement in these clubs, Horatio not only honed his social skills, but also cultivated a sense of responsibility and leadership. He learned the value of teamwork and cooperation, as well as the importance of empathy and understanding in his interactions with others, regardless of skin color. Almost all the children came from poor families, so elitism never entered the picture. Although there were occasions when he was called Whitey, it was usually said good-naturedly and accompanied with a mischievous smile. As he participated in various club activities, Horatio's confidence blossomed, and he began to discover his own strengths and interests. Whether he was somewhat awkwardly dribbling a basketball on the court, crafting what only his mother would have called a masterpiece in the art room, or simply engaging in lively conversation with his peers, he found a sense of belonging that transcended the boundaries of his sometimes scary surroundings, where crime was not unknown. For Emily, seeing her son thrive within the nurturing embrace of the Boys and Girls Clubs brought immeasurable joy and relief. Knowing that he was surrounded by caring adults and positive influences, she took solace in the knowledge that he was building a foundation for a bright and promising future. Through his early attendance at the Boys and Girls Clubs, Horatio not only found a sense of belonging, but also forged friendships and memories that would shape the course of his life for years to come. And as he continued to grow, and, in his own way, flourish, Emily stood by his side, her unwavering love and support guiding him every step of the way. Much later in life, when speaking to friends and work associates, it was not unusual for Horatio to refer to his mother as "my rock." Despite Emily's steadfast dedication to Horatio's well-being, their circumstances often dictated a life of scraping by. While they never went seriously hungry, their meals were often meager. Emily's resourcefulness ensured that Horatio's clothes were always mended and clean, even if they were threadbare and worn. Despite the challenges, Emily poured her heart and soul into her son, instilling in him values of respect, empathy, and tolerance. From a young age, Horatio learned to treat others with respect, regardless of their station in life. Emily emphasized the importance of respecting authority figures, such as teachers and law enforcement personnel, as well as showing kindness and understanding toward those who were less fortunate or those who may have treated him unkindly. "We don't know what happened in Clyde's home this morning," would be her typical response to Horatio's sometimes tearful reports. Despite occasional jibes and teasing from his peers, Horatio remained steadfast in his commitment to getting along with everyone, a testament to his mother's teachings. While school was never a passion for Horatio, Emily did her best to support him academically, despite her own limited education. However, as he progressed through the grades, it became evident that academic success did not come easily to him. Despite Emily's efforts to help him with his homework, Horatio struggled to keep up, often finding himself falling behind his peers. Similarly, Horatio failed to find his niche in extracurricular activities. His lack of aptitude in academics translated smoothly into a disinterest in sports, where he found himself neither excelling nor enjoying himself. His less-than-powerful build made him an unlikely candidate for football, and his mid-teen lack of coordination drastically hindered his ability to excel in basketball. Nor, did it seem, he could accurately pick up the spin of the baseball when he was up to bat. 3 strikeouts in 4 at-bats, combined with a .026 batting average, didn't put him on the first team. His only sports interest was in track, but even there, a finish better than 6th in a 10-person race was rare, regardless of distance. Despite his best efforts, Horatio remained on the sidelines, watching as his peers found success and fulfillment in their respective pursuits. Perceived as his shortcomings, Horatio had opportunity to become depressed and, it must be admitted, occasionally succumb to the temptation. At times like this, Emily would bake him his favorite dessert, pistachio cake, with its not-too-sweet icing. Of course, she'd always share words of encouragement with him at these times. "We're not all gifted with athletic and intellectual prowess, but we're all gifted with something. And, my dear boy, you will discover that you have gifts that are unique to you." 9 times out of 10, this combination of tasty food and a mother's encouragement would bring him out of his gloomy state.